It's time now for this week's Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. And today on Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick, and I am joined with Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner. Good morning, Chief. Thanks for coming in for Focus Fridays today.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
And today we're going to learn all about the Chief of Police position. And so how long have you been the Chief of Police for Millersburg?
A little more than 6 years, so probably about 6.5.
And so we're just going to dive right on in. What are the qualifications to become a Chief of Police in any given place?
So obviously you would have to be a certified peace officer through OPATA, which is the Ohio Peace Officer Training Academy. And then it's my understanding is it's kind of the requirements are dependent on where it's at. Like a big city chief might not have the same things as what I would have. But, you know, one of the basic things is you have to be a certified peace officer. And then the city council, village council are the ones that kind of look at and decide what the qualifications of the next chief or the chief would need to be.
And there are some chiefs who are strictly office bound. And then there's some that, like in your smaller departments, where they go out and they drive around and they do things.
Right. Yeah. The smaller agency chiefs, which is kind of what outnumbers the in the state, is they're kind of referred to as the patrolling chiefs, because you're not necessarily desk bound, like you'd said. You don't have, you know, the big agencies where they're pretty much 100% in the office, you know, check in, check out of the office type of thing. You know, I'll respond to calls if I'm needed, go out and I do different things, which even the big city chiefs, they go and they speak places, they're seen places, the face of the department, I guess, is what you want to call it. But there is definitely a distinction between a small town chief working, you know, the patrol shift. So I don't have a quote unquote patrol shift, but like I said, I'm kind of the backup for our guys that are on, would cover if need be or something like that.
Or if it gets busy, you can go out. Yep. And yeah, if there's an issue.
I can handle calls, and I've come across things, you know, like crashes or disabled. I'll run traffic. I don't do it, you know, a lot. I'm not a desk-bound chief, but it is amazing some days that my seat seems to not let me leave while I'm in it. So, but yeah, it's more I'm a working chief. A lot of people would say a working chief versus a non-working chief. And it adds a mix to the day.
And there is how you get in your seat so much. There's a lot of paperwork that, as being the head of the department, that you have to handle.
Right. Yep. I review the reports. I review the tickets. You know, I plan for things with the department, whether it's a training, getting people to training, figuring out what the training is. With us having continuing ed throughout the year, when the officers complete something, they turn those certificates into me. I'm the one that logs that and registers it. The state has a website for me to go to, and we log that stuff so that we can get reimbursed. And I do that even for the auxiliary officers that are certified peace officers. So keeping track of administrative duties also.
And grants to try to get things for the department. You guys have gotten different grants for vests and things like that.
Yeah, and filling out the paperwork, you know, researching that, figuring out what you have to do to get that, and moving those forward and paying attention to timelines and things like that. And the follow-up, I can't think of what it's called, but like halfway through a grant, you kind of have to report that you've used the item and what you've done. And so like with the vest grant document, basically the same thing. It's essentially the same thing it was at the beginning. How many were used, if we had any of these incidents that involved guns, if any of the vests were actually used for protection, not necessarily, you know, just the officers wearing them. So different questions, but pretty much the same as the original grant.
And especially in a small department, grant funding is super important.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, the state had a, through workers' comp, that's where we've gotten our vests the last couple times, and it's so much easier to get that, and the match is essentially the same as what with the federal government. It's just way less paperwork doing the state grant versus the federal grant.
I hear a lot that federal has a lot of paperwork. Yeah. You're not the only department.
Yep. Yeah, when I first took over, we were in the process with a federal grant for bulletproof vests. So I kind of finished up that reporting and things like that. And that was what I had to do with that grant versus what I do with our state grant is night and day. And I'd much rather do the state grant, and hopefully the state will continue to put those funds forward for us to be able to use those.
And as Chief, you had mentioned the continuing ed for the officers. Do you have to take special continuing ed as the chief, or do you just need to take the same stuff as the other officers?
It's designated just for a peace officer, so it doesn't matter rank or title. It's a certain amount the state designates. We have mandatory subjects that we have to complete so many hours, and then they're required, but they're not mandatory. So they still tell you what subjects they are, but they don't name it as mandatory. I kind of think they're the same thing, but the state doesn't look at it that way. So we have mandatory and we have required trainings. And the required might not be what they call it, but that's what I call it. They still designate certain topics that you have to have any amount of hours. With the mandatory, they say 2 hours of legal training, 2 hours of use of force, 2 hours where they might have, like this year, there's 9 subjects that I consider required. There's no per subject hour requirement. It's just a total of 16 hours in those fields.
You're doing regular police officer stuff and being all the stuff with Chief. So we'll talk about more of that. It goes into your day and how you're being, you know, you're leading the police force. I am with Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner on Focus Fridays, and I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. I am back here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. I'm with Chief Matt Shaner from the Millersburg Police Department. And Chief, we kind of talked about some of the requirements as far as being an officer and into a chief of police. And this is technically considered an appointed position. I guess we forgot to say that. So it is an appointed position.
Yep. Yep. I am not an elected official.
So there isn't a typical day when you're an officer of any sorts, but an average kind of day for a police chief versus an officer, how does that kind of differ?
So, you know, obviously I can really only speak for me at here. Never been chief anywhere else, never been an officer anywhere else. So, you know, normally, so I start my shift a little bit earlier. And one of the reasons why I do that is because the way our officer shifts are, if I started the typical 7 or 8 o'clock, I would never get to see the midnight guy, the officer. So I come in earlier so that I can catch at least an hour, maybe a little bit more with him, especially with our officers being junior officers, not quite having the experience that they've had. You know, I can talk to them. If there's things I need to deal with, I can talk with them, not making them come in any earlier on their shift, earlier or stay over. And same with me. I start my day, I come in and I talk with them if there's anything that's, you know, up that needs to be discussed. And I basically, you know, I review the reports from the night before, and whether or not I need to like accident reports, I have to approve those before they can be released. Reports that are going to the prosecutor, traffic tickets, things like those, I review those and kind of give my, I guess, my stamp of approval before we push those on to wherever else they go. So it's kind of nice because I actually come in before the office opens. So I get a little bit of, I guess, quiet time. The phones, you know, aren't ringing. People aren't calling. Not that people, I'm constantly answering the phone or things like that, but it's just kind of nice because the office is quiet.
You can focus on the reports.
Yeah, I can get my, you know, my morning paperwork. I can get that stuff done before people start rolling in. There again, I'm also available if there's something that, you know, that's going on. There's been a couple mornings where when the weather's been bad, snow and stuff, the officer gets tied up on a call, and then I can, you know, go out and assist if needed or pick up a call if needed. So it kind of helps because it's really weird. It always seems like the last hour of the shift is when things
happen,
have a tendency to go kind of sideways. You know, and if they need help and I'm there, I can help them. And that way, you know, when, because nobody gets likes getting stuck staying over. If needed, you know, I can be available to help them with that. And some of the officers, they'll come into the office and they'll bounce questions off of me that I wouldn't have known, you know, that they had. So it's a chance for me if I need to, I can go and check in with them, see how things are going. But you know, it's time to you know, check in with them, see how the, you know, how the shift was. Was it quiet? What you got going on? Give them a little bit of time to talk about if they have anything they need to bounce off of me, questions, I can, you know, answer those. And same thing, if I see something that I think needs to be addressed, I can talk to them about that. If I came in at 7 o'clock, you know, like most normal shift starts, they would already be gone. So I would essentially only ever see my day shift officers. So as is right now, occasionally I'll stop in the office and check in with our afternoons because I'm usually at home when our afternoon shift comes in and they leave before I come in the morning. So, but I do periodically just stop in, check in, see how they're doing, make sure there's no problems going on, you know, and I get a phone call at home. It's not uncommon for me to get phone calls at home. It's nice having officers that are, you know, like a sergeant, captain, things like that, that can get those calls. But I also, you know, get some calls if it's whoever they feel like calling. They don't have to call the sergeant before they call me. You know, sometimes sergeant's not available, they call me and vice versa. So, but my typical morning is just kind of checking in with things. I go out to the auxiliary building. I kind of do a look over of the cruisers, the equipment that's out there, just so I can see if there's anything that needs to be addressed. Just kind of an overview of checking in with things. You know, at the office, like I said, I do my paperwork. There are mornings where I'll go out and I'll drive around, sit and watch traffic and run traffic and do things like that. You know, if the weather's bad, the mornings where it's snowy and it's bad, a lot of times I might go to the office and grab a coffee and then hit the car and be out in the car most of the day because my thoughts are, you know, in situations like that, it's better for me to be out and about in case something's needed and I'm available to help.
Like I said, there's never a typical day, but you have like the things you try to focus on.
Right. Yep. I kind of have my routine, but it's very subject to
whatever's, you know, going on.
Interruptions or whatever. And that's one of the great things, even being the chief, is every day is not the same as it was yesterday. You know, if I don't have a report to review, I might be able to look at something else or look into something else that maybe I didn't get to yesterday or that I know I need to today. I can start on it earlier. So it's never, you know, I have scheduled times, like I'm scheduled to come out here. But obviously, you know, as well as I do, if something was going on that, you know, I got to go handle that. So one thing, if you would be a person that absolutely sticks with their schedule, this would be a hard job for you to do because you have to be very fluid. You know, you're a public servant. So when you hear the old, hey, do you got a minute? Sometimes in the civilian world, in non-public, you can be like, yeah, I don't have that minute. But being a public servant, it's like, yep, that's kind of what I'm here for. So it works that way, you know, even with my employees. You know, if I'm in the middle of something and they're like, hey, I need to ask you a question, if I need a second, I'll tell them, hey, just give me a second, let me finish this so I don't lose my thought in doing what I'm doing. But you just have to be pretty flexible. If you're a rigid routine goal, if you're very rigid and are not available or not susceptible to break your routine, then this would be a hard line of work. Law enforcement in general would be. You just can't be that way. You have to go, like they say, roll with the punches. And hopefully it's not literally rolling with the punches, but you whatever comes up, you're going to have to deal with.
And so with that, we'll have more with Chief Matt Shaner from the Millersburg Police Department for Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick on WKLM. Back again here on this episode of Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM, and I am with Chief Matt Shaner from the Millersburg Police Department. And we've been talking about being a police chief, and you are a full-time police chief. You're one of the only police chiefs in Holmes County that is full-time in the office like you are. And you had mentioned in one of the earlier segments about going about in the community. How important is, you know, having a face out in the community to being a chief of police and running the department? Because a lot of people wouldn't realize how important that is.
I think in general, you know, whether you're the chief or simply having officers that go out, just happens to be me for our agency, to get a face in the crowd, a person out in the public. One of the things, you know, whenever I come and talk with you on our regular monthly talks, is trying to show people that police officers are people too. You know, that's one of my biggest things. I've always bragged about the community and how much support we have. And thankfully, it's that way. We're not, you know, the bigger cities where several years ago when it was anti-police, anti-law enforcement, pretty much everything, you know, we didn't have that sentiment around here. We had people saying, hey, thank you, we appreciate it. I go to the schools, I come out here, we do the toucher trucks. I go out when, you know, anybody asks, you know, for like a safety training in their office place, I'll go and do those. I just think it's really important for any agency, any size, to have a public relations officer or officers to get out and let people see that we're human. Because you don't always get that opportunity to talk to people and interact with people when you're not in an enforcement mode. So it's nice, you know, like going to the schools, I go up there and, you know, and talk to them about what they're eating for breakfast and what for lunch and what was the theme for school today. You know, if they were dressed, the other day it was Red, White, and Blue Day. I'm not sure what their name theme is, but so I was asking all the different kids that, you know, that were dressed up, had their hair painted, things like that. I just want people to realize that the officers are people. And that's been one of my goals since I, you know, have been coming out here, like I said, and going to do the touch trucks. It's really neat watching the kids' smiles, and you get the officers get to interact with the citizens, and you get all kinds of crazy questions. You know, a lot of times with the kids, it's always, you know, not always, but a lot of it's related to your gun or what all's on your duty belt. And, you know, have you done this? Have you done that? And you talk to them, you know, the best you can and answer the questions as best you can. Some of the stuff they want to know, I kind of change the subject on them because, you know, inevitably it's always, have you shot somebody? Well, no, but I try not to even talk about it. I don't want that to be part of the subject, which it is. You know, the toucher trucks, they're always looking at the guns in the cars. So a lot of times I will take them out just so that they're not in there. And the community we're in, the kids know, you know, what we carry in the car. They're like, oh, you carry this and this. And
like the exact type and everything.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's like, oh, okay. And, you know, somebody has one of those too, and they talk about it, and, you know, and then they'll talk if they go hunting and things like that. And you can get off, you know, totally off the subject of me being a police officer and talk about them and let them share a little bit. And I share a little bit too. But, you know, being the face of the department is one of the big things I feel is very important. You know, I do safety speeches at different businesses. I'm involved with the Alice training throughout the, you know, with the schools and the safety drills and things like that. So you want the people to know that they can talk to you. It would be great if I could absolutely get all my officers to do that. But the simple fact is it's with my schedule being a lot more flexible than the patrol officers and the dispatchers, it's a lot easier a lot of times for me just to go and do those public events. When we had safe communities in the county, I was down at the fair. Just like you were down at the fair for the radio station, I was down there in the booth in safe communities, you know, where we help with the security at the fair. The officers are out walking around. But it's just so much easier for me with my flexible schedule. And if I know something's coming, I can kind of keep that area free. And if I can go, I'll go. And pretty much everybody understands if something comes up, I got to go to that call. But it's fun because it's not the enforcement part of the job. And public speaking isn't necessarily the funnest thing in the world, but I enjoy it. Get to talk to a lot of different people, get to hear their views, you know, and it's nice. It's just not in that enforcement mode. So, which definitely makes a lot of difference in attitude towards me. But, you know, like I said, the majority of the community is very supportive of everything that law enforcement, first responders in general do. And it's nice.
And you're also sharing your knowledge and the safety aspect trying to keep Holmes County the nice little community that Holmes County is.
Yep. Yeah. And it's not, you know, I don't ever just talk Millersburg. Yes, I'm the Millersburg Police Chief, and that's my jurisdiction and that's my area. But, you know, I would never curtail or curb my speeches or talking to somebody and be like, yeah, you're not in the village, so I'm not going to give that advice to you or you know, greet you or anything like that, because I don't know everybody that lives in town, so I really have no idea. Sometimes I talk to people and talk to them for a little while, and then I figure out that, you know, they're
a tourist.
Yeah, they're a tourist, and not even from Holmes County in general. But it doesn't matter. It's still the perception. And maybe I can change their perception of their law enforcement where they're actually from. So that's not a bad thing.
And so at that, you know, we have come to a nice place where we're going to take a little break here. We'll be back with more from Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Friday. Chief Matt Shaner with the Millersburg Police Department here on Focus Fridays for WKLM. I am Melissa Patrick, and we're talking about things that go into being a chief of police, and a lot of it kind of falls in line with just a general police officer, but you do have duties that are on top of that. And you were talking about the reports, and that's one of the things you always hear every officer like, oh, I hated doing the reports. But even as chief, even if you're not out in the road doing traffic, you get to look at everybody's report. And you kind of talked about that. You know, there's things that go into, it's not just, oh, they write a report, they get filed, and it's done. There's a whole process for those, right?
Right. Yeah. They do up their reports, you know, which is depending on what the crime the report was. You know, it's usually a couple supplements, and then you list all the participants in the report, and you get their criminal history, things like that. And then we actually do up the affidavit, probable cause, and we do we call it a PA referral sheet. So you go through and reading the report, I look at and make sure that the crime that they're asking for requesting the charges on fits, whether or not doesn't. You know, one of the easy ones to give an example on is domestic violence. You know, there's certain things that make it a domestic violence versus an assault. So you kind of have to look at their report and see that those things are spelled out and the elements of the crime, what it is that happened, things like that. And so I go through, and if the officer needs to fix it, you know, I'll give the report back to them. Or like I said, you know, with midnights, if it was the midnight guy that was working, I'll have him come into the office and sit down and explain it to him and go over it and make the suggestions for the corrections. You know, I'm not the world's best grammar person. Luckily, our programs that we use are Windows-based, so for the most part, they get caught. But obviously, if you're using the wrong word for what it is, like there, those type of words. So sometimes you have to kind of actually like really pay attention and read what you're reading. And it's hard. A lot of people, and I can get caught up in it too, is you can't proofread your own work. So I'm kind of like the departmental proofreader, even though I would not want to try to make a living being a proofreader. So, you know, I do that, and then we send them to the prosecutor's office and get charges. But I also, you know, I look at crash reports, make sure there's certain things there, certain information that needs to be in the crash report, and then I approve those. We have it's an online program that we use, and non-private property, so a public crash, public roadway crash, gets sent to the state. So there's certain things that have to be met, and then the officers validate the report, they print it off, they give it to me, I go back into the computer, and I approve the report, and it automatically uploads itself to the state. And same thing with our traffic citations. We have electronic traffic citations, and the officers, you know, will print those out, give a copy. We have printers in the cars, print it off, give a copy to the defendant on at the scene of the traffic stop, and then leave the copies in the office for the court. And I go through and I check those, and I try to check and try to make sure that, you know, the right section number is there. But it's some, like driving under suspension, there's so many different sections, and we have cheat sheets. but you could be writing for section A and it should have been C, and simple things like that. And with a traffic citation, depending on what the problem is, it's not as easy or as simple as just changing our copy. If something is needs to be fixed, we have to contact the defendant, let them know, you know, what the issue was with the ticket and what we're changing it to, and then document that and include that in with the ticket before we send it over to court, because you can't just change your half. You know, it's like half the information. You gave them a copy of the ticket. If you change your copy and it doesn't match their copy, well, that's not exactly the way that works, and can actually cause a dismissal of the case. So you have to do things properly. I mean, people make mistakes. It is what it is. And then with being a village, we don't always use the ORC. We use our village codes, our village ordinances, which pretty much mirror the ORC. And the reason we have the village code, to not make things overly complicated, is if we use a village code, we get some money back on that. If we don't, we don't get the money back. And it's a percentage and it's a dividend. And there's much more to that than what I really need to get involved with. But it's, you know, people say we're out to make money whenever we're running traffic, and that's not what we're doing. Some of the money is dedicated for certain things, like a training fund, you know, so it's not just that we're out making money, that we need to, you know, we're trying to get a raise or all the different things that we get to hear, some of the colorful things that we get to hear whenever we run traffic, because people are not happy getting traffic tickets, and I understand that. But I will say, in my time that I've been a police officer, I've seen more irate people getting a parking ticket than I have getting a traffic ticket. And the fines are way less, but it's real easy to get somebody to be very unhappy if you give them a parking ticket. For some reason, the parking tickets, they expect every one of our laws to be posted, but you don't hear that with the traffic tickets. You know, and we do have some, I would say, like, uncommon backing into a parking spot. That's, you know, depending on where it's at and everything, is something that we could write for. Parking enforcement is not something that we do a lot of. Back in the days whenever there was meters, that's probably something they did. That was before I was around. So, but yeah, it's people don't like getting traffic tickets, but people really don't like getting parking tickets.
And it's all paperwork that you get to go through.
Yes. Yep. Either way.
Paperwork's a part of most administrative jobs.
Yeah, and with the traffic tickets, you know, I approve those. We send them over to a municipal court, and they go forward from there. And then same with the crash reports. I go in, usually like once a month, I'll go in and I'll do a whole group of our traffic tickets, send them up to the state. So both of the program's the same for the crashes or for the citations, and they both go to the state, and that's something, you know, an additional thing that is part of my duties.
And so we've learned the back end, the paperwork end of things. We'll have more with Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner on WKLM's Focus Fridays. And I'm Melissa Patrick. This is Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays on WKLM, back with Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner. And one of the things as police chief is you are over top of the officers as their supervisor. So they come to you for help. You know, make sure they're doing what they need to do. You do promotions, all of that thing, correct?
Yes. Yep. I'm the boss. The only one really above me as far as police department wise goes is the mayor. But essentially, I'm the top. You know, handle the discipline, the hiring. I have officers, senior officers. They will do the interviews and things like that. And the backgrounds, all the steps, and then whether the applicant would pass the stuff, the interviewing officers, background officers feel that they need to move forward, then they come to me, you know, kind of for my final approval. But for the most part, if an applicant gets to me and is talking to me, I feel confident in my junior officers in the steps that we've gone through, the testing, because we do a psych test, a lie detector test, for lack of better word, terms, and background checks. The officer is somebody that the background officers feel would be a good prospect for the department. So, you know, and interviewing for jobs is always nerve-wracking. It doesn't matter what you're interviewing for. It's just nerve-wracking. And I guess I take a little bit lesser of an approach. My interview is just kind of to talk to the person, more one-on-one, kind of like how I do things. You know, they're human, I'm human. And I want them to see that. Coming from the military, it's a different world. The rank means immense power, you know, it's something. Not that my rank, not that a sergeant rank doesn't mean something on the police department. It's just a different feel for me. You know, the military is one thing and this is another. And yeah, there needs to be that clear distinction that the rank is there. Boss is the boss. The supervisors are the supervisors. But you can also let people know that you're human. We fight the crime, we do all that, but we're not at war. We're not in the military where it needs to be that rough. There's a time for it and there's a place for it. And I do that on my own. One of the things with the military is fraternization. You hang out with other people and some people. And so that's kind of how I am. You know, you got to make sure that people understand right now we can hang out, we can be buddies. But whenever I say on the job, you need to do this, there shouldn't be any laughing or joking. And a lot of people have a problem with that break. Doesn't matter where it's at, but that's something that a lot of people have a problem with. So I guess I'm a little bit more reserved to where I kind of keep that line there. But I'm pretty sure that all my officers, you know, I joke around with them. Not necessarily always off camera. The most, you know, we joke around. And law enforcement, first responders, public safety kind of all have a different kind of humor that the general public would not be
okay with. They would think it's a little dark.
Yeah, it's dark, it's harsh. And it's how we are. So I want my officers to understand that, yeah, I am the boss, but I've been doing this longer than them, and my humor might be darker than theirs. So we just kind of let things roll sometimes. But you have to make sure that there definitely is not an issue with, you know, who's the boss and who holds who accountable, because that is my job. I hold them accountable for what they're supposed to be doing. And go from there.
Now, how do you choose when you do give somebody a rank? Because that is all your decision. It's at your discretion as the chief of police. Do they have a certain criteria that you've established, or how do you make that distinction?
So a lot of agencies do. They have a list of things that need to be done, should have been done, have done. And I kind of look at it, I guess it's one of those things where you can kind of get a feel, you know,
and they do more responsibility,
right? Most of the people, how do they handle themselves? If they are somebody, you know, that is an absolute train wreck, just dealing with themselves, you can't put the pressure of them having to be able to be an example, because a leader is an example. A supervisor is an example for the junior members, for, you know, the ones that are coming around have never been around, you know, the working sergeants, the working captains, never been on a department before. They got to see how things are. So it's kind of, I see things in people, and that's kind of how it goes. A lot of agencies do have, you know, bigger cities, the cities, bigger agencies, they will have promotion tests. We don't have that. You know, you got to have some years in service, you know, and I can see several officers that I've had over the years at the point in time they were with us. I could definitely see them in 5 to 10 years being a supervisor and being good at it, because not only do they have a good grasp of the law enforcement world right now, they are ones that are willing to help somebody else and able to explain things on different levels so that people can understand stuff, because you may understand it, but if you can't explain it to the next person to understand it, it's not, the information is worthless to me. But that's something you need to look at in a leader is somebody that, you know, can deal with explaining things, dumbing things down, for lack of a better word. So I don't really have criteria spelled out. It's just kind of one of those things. And like with getting a new job, you know, you have a probation period, a trial period. You put somebody in there, and thankfully I've not had to take anybody out of with a supervisor position that You put them in there and they get 6 months and see how they go. And by all means, if I would have picked the wrong person, I would pull them out. But we're also small enough that if you're not a supervisor, you might not be doing a lot of the stuff that I might want you to start doing as a supervisor. So I haven't seen you in those roles. So your work, your day-to-day work needs to be good and squared away, have a good head on your shoulders, but I need to be able to see how the leadership comes out of you even in a short period of time, because 6 months is a very short period of time to prove your leadership qualities, especially on a department like us in a village like ours where we're busy, but we're relatively quiet. And a lot of times the officers are working by themselves. So he might be the patrol sergeant, but on shift, he's the only one out. So yeah, he's the patrol sergeant, he's the shift supervisor, and he's the worker bee. So he handles different roles. So you got to see him in dealing with people, just not giving them the position and send them on their way, or her, sorry.
And so being the head honcho is all part of being police chief. And we've got one more segment where we'll kind of wrap things up with Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner. And for WKLM's Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick. We're back one last time with Chief Matt Shaner from the Millersburg Police Department. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays. We've been learning all about the different elements that go into being the chief of police. And like many other positions, it helps to network. And there are ways for you to do that as well, correct?
Right. Yeah, so I'm a member of the Ohio Association of Chiefs of Police, and that association is broken down into districts, and I'm part of District 6, which covers all the way down to Zanesville, Steubenville, Dover, New Philly. So it's kind of a huge swath in southeast Ohio. And we meet every third month, every quarter. So we meet, and usually what it is we meet somewhere, have like a brunch or a lunch, and just kind of talk. And we sit around and we kind of say what's going on with the agencies that we represent. There's usually like a little training, learning session involved. Somebody from the state will come and kind of say, hey, you know, this is what's going on, like with continuing ed for next year, or, you know, these trainings are going to be available, or this is coming down the line for things that are going to be changing. So it's interesting. You get to meet those people. I don't go to them a whole lot, I guess, because I kind of see things going on around here. Like to be around here with our continually looking staffing issues, junior officers, things like that. I just kind of feel a little bit more comfortable being here. But they do an annual training down in Columbus, and it's a 3-day training. I do go to that. Gone to that every year since I've taken over as chief. But they offer different trainings throughout the state, different locations. So I've been to several of their different trainings. They sponsor the trainings. But it's a good networking tool.
Whether you go or not, you still have access.
Yeah, yep. And I get to talk to chiefs from agencies my size, chiefs from agencies bigger than mine, chiefs from agencies smaller than mine. And it's kind of, being the chief, I worry about things going on in my department and how things are working and things like that. So then I listen to these guys, and it's the same problem. It might be on a smaller scale or a larger scale, but, you know, like right now in law enforcement in general is personnel, you know, hiring new officers, getting new officers, keeping new officers.
It's not just your department.
It's everywhere. Doesn't matter what you pay, what your benefits are. There's always somebody else that's doing it better. And it really seemed, well, right now the market's open. So a person that was inclined, you know, it's not really sky's the limit, but I know there's some places that, you know, are making starting out close to twice what we make as starting out wages. So, you know, and if they're a single person and they have no real good ties and they're willing to relocate or, you know, drive extended period, obviously several hours is not going to work, but you know, you can go and you can make money doing this. Agencies have more opportunity for things inside the department, you know, like a canine officer, a SWAT officer, detectives, dedicated traffic enforcement versus handling calls and working traffic. There's all kinds of different things on bigger agencies that entices people.
The action.
Yeah. I would love to be able to say, yep, we can do all that. But it's not feasible, you know, for a smaller agency of our size to look at doing those things. You have the need, the cost. A canine program, my opinion, if you're going to do it properly, you need to have the dog, which with the training is, you know, somewhere between $10,000 to $15,000. You have a dedicated car because you don't want to be, I would not want to get in a car after shift of the dog working in, because the canine officer may not have time to clean it completely. So, you know, if you're not a dog person or
you're allergic.
And we used to have an officer that was allergic to dogs. So, you know, you would have to have a dedicated vehicle, which is crazy because you have to add the added, not just the normal police package, but you add the heat sensing equipment and fans and stuff in the cage for the dog. So, you know, that raises the price of that. And
so you work together, but you're also competing against each other a little bit too.
Yes. Yep. Very much so. You know, I've had several agencies, you know, take good officers that have, you know, good futures.
And it's nothing against Millersburg.
Right. No, it's, you know,
it's closer to home. It's better pay.
Yep. And the officers are not that any different than the John Q. citizen. You know, some people are always looking for more money. And like I said, right now, it's not sky's limit, but it's pretty high. Some people are looking for the excitement and the extra money, the room for advancement. It's not anything, you know, against Millersburg. I'm originally from the Worcester area. I would rather work down here than I would in Worcester. And that's been my thing. I started on this department as a volunteer auxiliary officer, used my GI Bill from the military to pay for my academy, started part-time, started full-time in dispatch, made my way to where I'm at now. I'm happy down here. I like this work. We're busy, but we're not bonkers. We have days where we feel like we're bonkers, but it's you know, go to a big city and see how it is. And when I say, like I said before, when I say big city, I'm talking, you know, just go to Ashland, Worcester, Orville, Rittman, Dover, New Philly. You know, they're cities, but I don't necessarily, you know, I guess when I say big cities, that's Cleveland, Akron.
I was going to say, I think Cleveland, Akron, Columbus.
But
no thanks.
But, you know, just go to a city and see what's going on and look at the workload. And I'm good here.
And would you recommend being a police officer to somebody on the fence?
Yes. I definitely think it's something, you know, it's a rewarding career. It's not a job. It doesn't, your hours are, there's so much commitment in your inner self, your personal self, yourself in general, that it's not like a regular job. You know, like I said, it's something different every day. Has highs, has lows, crazy moments, dull moments, but it's something, if you like a twist, something different, then this is definitely something, you know, that you would want to consider. You know, I've worked in factories in the military, and this is I like this. I spent 19 years as a dispatcher. I really enjoyed that. And that was, you know, the dispatch office at the police department is pretty small. But I was talking to people every day. My job doing that was not the same every day. No, I wasn't out interacting with the public as much face-to-face. But you talk to the different people, interact with different people. And it's just, I enjoyed it. I enjoy police work in general.
Well, thanks so much for kind of sharing what you do as the police chief. Let people in the police world there to really get a better understanding of what you do here as a police officer and a chief.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Home Siding, Roadies IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. don't forget to listen in every Friday in the 9 a.m. hour for Focus Fridays for those elected, appointed, and volunteer positions right here in Holmes County. In our next edition of Focus Fridays, we focus in on Economic Development Director Mark Meininger here on your hometown radio 95.3 WKLM.